This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
I'm Billy Lambert, speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we're delighted to have you watching today. We want you to stay tuned today as we're going to discuss this question: where is God in your life? Where is God in your life? Please stay tuned. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. I emphasize it's absolutely free. And in order that you might know more about this course, in order that you might know how you receive the course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm going to be reading now from James, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to start the reading in verse 11 and read through the 17th verse. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law, but a judge. Thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now that ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When you hear the word atheist, of whom do you think? What comes to your mind? Do you think about some local town character who just likes to go around shocking people and by telling them that there is no God? Or maybe you think about some college professor who tells his students that the concept of God is an outdated and outmoded concept. I think it is very possible for an individual to believe that there is a God and still be a practical atheist, that is, live as if God does not exist. And this refers to those who live supposedly the life of a Christian, but then in their actions, they live as if Christ does not exist, that God is not real. Because, you see, God is not a major factor in their thinking or in their actions. The theme of leaving God out is a key thought that ties James chapter 4, verse 11 to 17 together. Leaving God out. Where is God in your life? Now, so we want to think about that. We should not leave God out of our speech. We should not leave God out of our speech. Notice in verse number 11 that James writes and he says, speak not evil one of another. Don't talk, be evil, don't slander one another. You see, it seems as some were quietly judging one another, which is condemned in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." We're not to judge other people. Now, there's a righteous judgment when we take the word of God and we condemn that which is evil. But there's a judgment that we ought not, when we're judging other people and the actions of the people. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 7 when he said, maybe you've got you're trying to get a speck out of somebody's eye when in reality you've got to stick a stove wood in your own eye. He said, first you get the beam out of your eye, then you'll see clearly to get the speck out of your brother's eye. We're not to be judging one another in that regard. We're not to make hasty judgments about people. We're not to make a judgment from partial or incorrect evidence. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we say, well, I saw so-and-so doing this. I heard of a young man who got a telephone call from a lady in the church, and her husband had been injured at work. He was taking her to the hospital, the preacher was. Some gossiper in town saw him driving this woman in his car across town to the hospital, and they began to spread the rumor that the preacher was running around with another woman. You see, that was wrong. They made a hasty judgment. They did not have all the information. They put the worst possible construction on the facts in the case. You see, making a judgment regarding another that is wrong. Being overly harsh in our judgment is wrong. We're to love one another. You know, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," in Matthew 22:39. How can we love people when at the same time we're speaking evil of them? So sometimes we're leaving God out of our speech. I don't think people realize how important what they say is in God's eyes. In Matthew the 12th chapter, Jesus said, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We need to only say those things that we would say if the Lord were present. One who speaks evil of another sets himself against God. Well, they said, "Well, I have a right to say it. I have a right to judge. I know all there is to know about." So that's the attitude some have. A woman came to me one day and she was saying something about another individual. And I said, "Well, I don't really think we ought to say that." She said, "Well, I'm not gossiping. I'm not gossiping. What I'm saying is the truth." I said, "Well, if you were not telling the truth, in addition to gossiping, you'd be telling a lie." You see, sometimes we leave God out of our speech. And one of those things that destroys families, it destroys churches, it can destroy friendships, is people who are not using their tongues correctly. They are gossipers, they're tattlers, they're busybodies in other people's matters. You see, don't leave God out of your speech. And then, on the other hand, there are those that leave God out of their planning. Oh, they may attend every service of the church, but they leave God out of their planning. Now, notice what James says here, James 14, starting in verse, James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow." This is what we're going to do. We'll go into such a city. Continue there. We're going to stay there for a year. I'm going to buy and sell and get gain. I'm going into business. And he said, "This is what you're going to talk about today or tomorrow." He says, "You don't know what," and in verse 14, he says, "You don't know what's going to be on the tomorrow." You know, Solomon in Proverbs 27:1 said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for a man doth not know what a day may bring forth." He said, "What is your life? How would you describe your life?" Well, here's the way James described it. It's just like a vapor. It's like a puff of smoke. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. It's gone. It's gone forever. You see, we're here for just a little while. My life is like a vapor. Someone says, well, I think I'm going to live to be an old man. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for a man doth not know what a day may bring forth. Someone says, well, the longevity is in our family. All men are going to die. Suppose an individual were to live to be 100, 105, 110, whatever. You know, that's not very long compared to where we're going to be in eternity. You see, James is not condemning being a good businessman. He said, we're going to a city, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. He's not even condemning making a profit. If you're going to be a business person, you ought to make a profit. That is, make an honorable profit. And he's not condemning planning ahead. We're to redeem the time, Ephesians 5:16, which means to buy up the opportunity. We ought to use our time wisely. But what he is condemning here in James chapter 4 is leaving God out of our planning. A lot of people make plans for the future, and they never, ever take God into account. I used to give a premarital inventory to young couples that would come to me that were asking me to counsel them prior to their wedding. And there were a number of parts of that premarital inventory. And one of them was their religious life, their spiritual life. And all of the young couples that I, to whom I gave that premarital inventory, there was only one out of many, many who had ever given any thought whatsoever to their spiritual life before they got married. And that couple, even though there have been many heartaches in their life, there's been many years they've been married, they're still together. You cannot leave God out of your planning and expect a good outcome. The people in the text were very foolish. They were foolish, but they did not take the uncertainty of life into account. I was talking to a friend of mine, Ray Walker, one time, and he was asking me, what do you plan to do for your life? And I said, well, I said, someday, when I get a little older, I plan to get out and do this, and I plan to do this. He said, I don't understand that. You see, Ray Walker is a bass singer for the Jordan Air Quartet, and he was with us where I was preaching, and he was doing a sing-spiration for a few days. He said, I don't know whether I'm going to work until the telephone rings. You see, we can't leave God out of our planning. We've got to take God into our account. He thought that God was the one who was directing things in his life. You see, these people were foolish because they didn't take into account they were not going to live forever. And they were leaving God out of their planning. They thought they had a lease on life that they did not have. They planned for a year. They said, we're going to stay there for a year. They didn't even know what the next minute was going to bring. And yet they were planning a year ahead. But Solomon said, boast not yourself of tomorrow. Don't boast about tomorrow. These people did not take into account how brief life really is. The Bible says that your life is like water spilled on the ground. Your life is like a vapor. Your life is so short, it's brief. Man that is born of woman is a few days, Job said, and he's full of trouble. You can't count on getting old. I went to a heart doctor not long ago, just a few days ago, actually, for a 20-year checkup. 20 years ago, I had open heart surgery. Well, I hadn't had any checkup since then. So go to the doctor. I said, I want a 20-year checkup. And he said, after looking at all the four tests that he gave me, well, he said, man, I'm going to help you to live to be 90 years old. Well, that sounded good, but how do I know I'll live to be to my next birthday? Nobody knows that. You see, we do not have a lease on life. We don't know how brief life is going to be. We cannot count on getting old. Incidentally, when the doctor's nurse called me to give me the results of some of the tests, I reminded her of what he said about helping me live to be 90, and I asked her why he wanted to cut it off at 90. I was being a little facetious with her. You see, a tiny blood clot can change your life in a second. An automobile accident can cause you to be out into eternity. These people were foolish because they did not take the will of God into account. Notice what it says in verse 15. For you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. We need to take into account the will of God. This suggests, when we talk about if the Lord will, that suggests we have a belief in God. It further suggests that we believe that God is totally in control. And it indicates a belief that our lives need to be controlled by God. You see, the way when God made us, He made us volitional beings, that is, people that have the power of choice to make decisions. And we make hundreds of them. In your life today, throughout the rest of this day, you're going to be making decisions. It may be the decision that's about your job. It may be a decision about your family. It might just be a decision about what you're going to eat at the next meal. But we all make decisions. But at the top of all the decisions we make in life ought to be, if the Lord will. If this is what God wants me to do, I will do it. Because they were proud of themselves and their abilities, the people were leaving God out of their thinking and their planning. And rather than trusting God, well, they boasted about what they were going to do. They said, we're going to go in the city. We're going to stay there for a year. We're going to buy. We're going to sell. We're going to get gain. Was that wrong? No. But they should have said, if the Lord will. If it's God's will, we'll do that. But then there are those that leave God out of their activities. Notice verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The people in our text knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. They just didn't do anything about it. This text is not teaching that ignorance is justified. The Bible doesn't justify it. Paul was ignorant about his responsibility to Jesus, but he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. 1 Timothy 1:13 as well as verse 15. When the Apostle Paul was in Athens preaching to the Athenians, he said the times of this ignorance God winked at, but he doesn't any longer. You see, we are creatures that are going to be held accountable for the lives that we live and for our conduct and for our sins. And James is pointing out the seriousness of deliberate willful sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do you know you should be kind? Well, yes, but are you? Well, I'm not as kind to my wife as I should be. I'm not as kind to my children as I should be. Why not? Don't you know that it's a sin for us to know to be kind to people and not to do it? Are you loving? Well, are you hard to get along with? Some people are just hard to get along with. They're gruff. They kind of growl when they talk. They're just gruff people. They're not very loving people. And I'm not saying that a person can't be a gruff, a love people and speak with a gravel in their throat, but. We need to be people that love people and let them know we love them. Let brotherly love continue. Love suffers long, is kind, it envies not, it vaunts not itself. You see, what James is saying, that if you know what to do and you don't do it, it's wrong. Do you know that you need to be a better husband? Do you need, you know, to be a better wife? Do you know you need to be a better son, a better daughter? Do you know you need to be a better citizen? Do you know you need to be a better Christian? Do you know that you need to be a better neighbor? If you know that, if you know you need to do something and you don't do it, well, then the Bible says it is wrong. I want you to picture a person here who has known all their life that God is all powerful before whom he's going to stand one day and give an account. And that person then coolly and deliberately refuses to do what God tells him to do. Now you think about that. Let's look at the picture now. Here's a person who says, I know there is a God. I know that God is real, and I know that God is powerful, and I know that God one day is going to judge me for what I've done in this body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans 14, 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every person watching this telecast, including the speaker, one day will give an account of his life to God. And we know that. But then we just deliberately refuse to do what God tells us to do. And that just sort of sends shivers up my spine. Well, when I find out that the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 10 that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Well, what James is talking about in James 4:17 is a sin of omission. I know I need to be baptized, but I just refuse to do it. I know I need to read the Bible, I just refuse to do it. I know I need to pray more, but I just refuse to do it. I know I need to worship God, I just refuse to do it. I know what I need to do, but I'm just negligent. Well, I think of a question posed in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The answer to that is, there isn't one. There is no escape when we do that. So James is talking about people who leave God out of their life through their negligence. To know to do good, to not do it, is a sin, the sin of omission. And so, do you know you ought to be helping other people? Are you helping other people? There are so many human needs we pass by every day. People that might be hungry, people that might need help of some kind, elderly people. I dare say those that are listening to my voice right now know of someone that's elderly, that has a difficult time getting around, that they could go help. You have parents that are up in years. You need to help those parents. You see, you know people of your acquaintance, they're having a difficult time making ends meet. As we have opportunity, let's do good. Let's do good. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Do you know you ought to share the gospel with somebody else? Well, we ought to. You say now, Brother Lambert, you've stopped preaching and you've gone to meddling now. No. Do you know you need to share the gospel because Jesus said, go preach the gospel? And you prove if you can he wasn't speaking to you when he said, go preach the gospel. Do you do it? To him that knoweth to do good and does it, it is sin. I might be speaking to somebody right now that is an unfaithful member of the Church of Christ. Do you know you should be restored if you've been unfaithful? Do you know that the Bible teaches that in Galatians 6 and verse 1? That those that are spiritual will restore you in the spirit of meekness. Do you know you ought to do that today? You see, to know to do good and fail to do it is sin. What I'm pleading with you today is not to leave God out of your life. The greatest mistake you'll ever make is to leave God totally and completely out of your life. Let me tell you about a man who did that, and he paid a great price for it. And Jesus talked about this man in the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel when he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." And then he spake a parable to them about a certain rich man. And this was a farmer, a rich farmer. And his grounds brought forth plentifully. And he did not have enough room in his barns to store all of his produce. So the man said, made a decision. He said, "This is what I'm going to do. I will pull down my barns, and I'll put my fruits and my goods in that barn. I'll say to my soul, you have goods for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry." Here's a man who completely and totally left God out of his life. He was so self-centered. And he did not say, "This is what God has given to me." He said, these are my goods. This is my barn. This is my soul. But God said, "You're a foolish man. And this very night your soul is going to be required of you." Please do not leave God out of your life. I'd urge you to become a child of God today. It is a tremendous privilege to be a child of God and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus with all your heart. Repent of all your sins, Luke 13:3. Be willing to confess your faith in Jesus, Matthew 10:32-33. And as a penitent, confessing believer in Jesus, be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. And the Lord will add you to the church, 1 Corinthians 12:13, Acts 2:47. I want to urge you to do that. You have a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And if you're not sure where it's located, you get in touch with me. We'll give you that information. I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.